Good morning. Welcome to What's Up Boone County. Well, I'm sorry to say that winter has arrived. We knew it was coming. It had a little cool weather here and there later, a few weeks back, but nothing of significance until this week. Two snows and cold, dreary, windy weather. I guess it's not to be unexpected, but it is no fun when we get into this time of year. But as I always say, the sooner winter comes, the sooner it'll be over, hopefully. Maybe we'll have a mild winter. We don't know. But appreciate you joining us this, I don't see what this is. This would be the third weekend. Let's see. Third week, maybe it's the fourth. It's the week before Thanksgiving. I've lost track of which number it is. But in November, I hope you've got good plans for the Thanksgiving holiday next week. But our guest this week is Johnny Ricci, who is the owner of a business that you may have seen around town called the Ladybug. They're a pest control service that kind of originated here, and they've created quite a niche for themselves in the world of pest control. And I decided it would be fun to have the owners of this company in to talk about what they do and why people need the services of the Ladybug or others like it. And maybe we could give people some free advice on how to avoid the problem so that they are less likely to have to hire someone like the Ladybug to help them out. So, Johnny, thanks for being our guest this week on What's Up Boone County.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So let's talk a little bit about your personal background. Are you a Lebanon native?
Zionsville.
You grew up in Zionsville, and you're a married man?
Yes, sir.
What's your wife's name?
Jacqueline.
And she's from Lebanon?
Yes, sir.
What's her maiden name?
Keller.
So she's a Keller. Mm. Ed was her grandfather. Ed just recently passed away, I know.
Yes.
Sorry about that. So where do you guys live now?
We live just north of Lebanon, Hickory Meadows area.
Okay. How long have you and your wife owned this business, the Ladybug?
Going on 4 years.
4 years. Is this a franchise of a national company that you're just kind of the local representative for this company, or did you create this company and the name, et cetera?
No, we started it.
You started it. So 4 years ago, you came up with the idea there's a market here for these sorts of services, and the company has grown, hasn't it?
Yeah, significantly.
How many employees do you have?
During the summer months, we got anywhere from 12 to 14.
And how many trucks or vehicles do you have on the road?
Six, seven.
Six or seven. And what's your market area? Where do you kind of focus your efforts to provide these services?
We do a lot of Boone County. We do a lot of Hamilton County, Marion County. We do go to Anderson, down to Greencastle, Columbus sometimes. Just depends on the problem.
Sure. Well, depends on who called you.
Yeah.
If you got the time and you've got the expertise. Mm-hmm. So you're listening to What's Up Boone County this weekend before Thanksgiving 2022, and we're talking to Johnny Ricci, the owner of the Ladybug Pest Control Service. What'd you know about pest control before all this came about 4 years ago? Anything other than what anybody else would know?
Nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. So how did you get even interested in the topic?
My wife and I have always wanted to start our own business and kind of work for ourselves. But she was a construction estimator and chief marketing sales director at a few places. And I was just a landscaper, construction worker.
Okay.
And once we kind of stumbled across pest control, it all kind of fell hand in hand.
So how did you stumble across pest control, other than you probably had a problem at your house?
Yeah, we bought a house, and within the first, I think it was a few weeks, we noticed a few roaches and called the company. I can't remember who it was. They came out, did a few things, charged a bunch of money, never really took care of the problem. And once we were able to capture a roach and identify it, we figured out it was just a Pennsylvania wood roach, and all I had to do was move a small wood pile that I had next to the house, move it away, and take it to the edge of the property, and that took care of it.
So once the roach got farther removed from the house, mm-hmm. he wasn't coming in the house, correct?
No, those particular roaches, they don't want to be inside. They want to be outside.
And you figured that out on your own after you paid somebody to try to deal with the problem. They didn't even deal with it correctly. Well, that's how a lot of new businesses start. Somebody figures out a way, I can do this better than the guy that I hired to do it. Mm-hmm. So you started from that one experience and decided that you'd kind of look into this. So how'd you go about it?
So we got a hold of some products online a buddy of mine told me about, and started treating my own house.
You're talking about chemicals?
Yeah.
And you're treating them for what?
Anything, just basic pests.
So did you wait until you had these pests, or did you just start putting the stuff down just to kind of protect your property?
I just put it down every 90 days or so. And then a few people in the neighborhood had a couple problems with this, that, and the other. So we helped them out, made a couple bucks here and there. And come to find out what I was doing was kind of frowned upon. You got to have a license to do that stuff.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you can't just do it. It's not like mowing a yard or something.
No, you can't just up and start a pest control business.
Well, I would not have known that.
Yeah, exactly, and I didn't either. So we went to Purdue, got certified, took some classes, testing, and then we wanted to start, launch a business. And right before we launched, we had a raccoon get in our house in the attic.
So those can be bad, can't they?
Yes, they can. So I ended up getting it out, and I was like, well, hell, I can do that all the time. So we added wildlife into the mix.
So you got pests and you got wildlife. We're going to talk about the various various targets that you deal with, but I want to keep going here on the process before a minute. So how long did it take you to get these courses completed and in order to get the certification? I assume you were talking about a state certification. Mm-hmm. There's a state agency that regulates your business.
Yes, the Office of the State Chemist.
State Chemist, okay.
State Chemist Office.
So how long did it take you to go through that course, those courses at Purdue?
I'd say maybe a year. Solid year between studying and taking the test.
Did both you and Jacqueline get approved or certified?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it expensive?
No. I'd say by the time it's all said and done, maybe $1,000.
Was it difficult?
For me it was, because I'm not the smartest guy on the planet here. I kill bugs and catch critters.
It took
me a little bit, and I haven't been in school in 20-some years.
Yeah, that's right. I get where you're so a lot of big words and stuff.
Yeah, it threw me for a loop, but, I got over it, and it turned out it was pretty easy.
Did you have to pick, in order to get certified, did you have to pick a specialty, or do you get certified in a broad category like pest control that covers any number of animals and rodents and so forth?
There's other categories. I mean, like, if you got termites, that's a whole nother category.
It's okay, so termites are a special category.
Yeah, that's a special category, and that's really about it as far as Indiana goes.
What do you mean is really about it? I mean, they have their own category, termites?
Yeah.
What are the other, give me the other examples of wildlife or rodents or pests that are candidates for this sort of an endeavor?
So invertebrates, really. So
in the invertebrate. Now, let's go back. It's been a long time since I was in middle school, but I do remember the term invertebrate. As I remember, it has something to do with either it has a spine or it doesn't have a spine.
So invertebrates do not have spines.
So things that don't have a spine are called invertebrates. And what are some examples of invertebrates?
Anything from bed bugs all the way up to ants, roaches, anything below a mouse, I would say.
Okay, so a mouse is kind of the largest, smallest of the vertebrates.
Yeah.
Okay, so your animal, the garden variety bugs, termites, ants, roaches, bed bugs, lice. What's lice? Is lice that's not a living thing, is it? Can it be?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
See,
obviously, don't do lice. That's more of a doctor.
That's a doctor's handle, lice.
Yeah.
All right. That's all right. Well, we're learning. We're learning. So those things that are invertebrates, that's one category, and they can be a real nuisance, can't they?
Oh yeah.
And then there's bigger things, and you say with mice and What other? Give us some examples. We move up the food chain here. What else do we fall into? I know raccoons, squirrels, ground squirrels.
Mice, chipmunks, squirrels. And then from there you go your possums, your skunks, your raccoons.
And we got all those around here, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
What about lions and tigers and things like that? You don't
no,
go there, do
you? No, not, because I don't think I'd be in this business.
You know, we don't have any.
Tigers. You know, I don't do
we didn't take any. We didn't take the course for lions and tigers.
No,
and,
I don't think I would have.
And wolves and... hyenas and whatever else is out there in the rural areas. Okay, so you took the course, you got certified, and by then did you think that there was an opportunity to actually make some money at this? Or did you think
bit.
It was going to be a hobby more than anything?
Nah, we thought it was going to be a weekend thing. Just kind of a weekend gig, a couple extra bucks here or there.
Sure. So how'd you come up with the name of the ladybug?
My wife's mother actually came up with it. My mother-in-law.
Okay.
She mentioned it, and my wife liked it. And like I mentioned before, Jacqueline, you know, she's a marketing whiz, so she can call it whatever she wants.
Well, so. The name is the name is important. Somebody might say it isn't important. Well, the right name can really be valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a woman-owned business owner. I mean,
that gives you some status that in the law that you might benefit from. I'm not sure what they all are, but there are some benefits out there. So did you start out with a principal focus? You thought you were going to deal with one type of pest, and it's turned into something else over time?
Yeah, we thought we were just going to do insects, but you know, we added in wildlife and started dabbling with that. And then come to find out, I'm pretty good at what I do. And I've got a nick for it, or a niche.
Yeah.
So it just kind of took off from there, and we became primarily wildlife.
So you now spend more of your time and focus on wildlife, but you still do pests and insects and all that.
Yeah, we still do a lot of insects.
What about bees?
Oh, yeah.
We've had a bee problem in our house twice. They've had to take the siding off of our house to get the bees out.
Mm-hmm.
One time it didn't work. They came back. It was not an inexpensive exercise. I remember it. I don't want to try to remember the details,
right. But
that was a real nuisance. You know, we've all had problems or heard about people with termites or insects that get into the foundation. And I think we have a service that we use in our house to spray every so often to keep the insects away. Is that a good thing to do, or is that just spending money?
No, it really is. It's really good to hook up with the pest control company. They come out every 90 days or so and just kind of look over the house and try to keep most of the bugs away.
And why are the bugs in the house? What are we trying to do? Why are they there?
It depends on the bug. Some of them don't want to be in the house. They're just in there. Some of them are after a food source. Some of them are after rotting wood, stuff like that. So
okay.
It depends on the bug.
Sure. All right. So... if a person is a new homeowner or they bought an old home, they live out in the rural area, and how do you know you've got an insect problem? What are some of the signs?
Generally, you see them or hear them, or the contractor's working away on the house and he finds a bunch of rotted wood with bugs coming out of it or something like that.
And the insects are attracted to the rotted wood because it's soft.
Some of them can be.
Okay.
Moisture,
and then
they can
eat it and deal with it a lot easier than if it's really hardwood, I guess. So you would recommend that an average homeowner have a relationship with a pest control service to periodically spray or check for insects and termites and things like that, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And their companies will do that, and they'll come out every 90 days or whatever and look and inspect and spray. Mm. And this chemical that they use, is it pretty much the same chemical for all insects, or does each one have its own little specialty chemical?
There's a go-to, but it doesn't work for all insects. You get specific insects. You got to change up your chemical, change up your rates, change up, you know, the area, I mean, what you're doing.
Does the... see, I was going to ask you something, and I forgot. All right. Well, we're going to continue our conversation with Johnny Ricci, owner of the Ladybug here in Lebanon, after we take a moment to hear from our sponsor.
We're back with What's Up Boone County
this weekend before Thanksgiving. We're talking with Johnny Ricci, the owner of the Ladybug. He and his wife, Jacqueline Keller Ricci, started this business 4 years ago, and they've grown it into a pretty thriving business with six or so vehicles and crews on the road and a dozen or so employees. They're dealing with everything from bugs and insects to wildlife. So we talked earlier about the difference between vertebrate and invertebrate, and we talked about insects, how you deal with those, a little bit about the bee problem. Let's talk about wildlife. You know, those of us who live in town don't have to worry about wildlife as much, although ground squirrels can be a real nuisance. And even in town, you can run into raccoons. They get in your house. What do they want to be in your house for?
Warmth.
That's where they're coming in for
have
the warmth,
litter.
Huh? That's a problem, isn't
that's,
it?
That's a big problem.
One of my neighbors across the street had a problem with raccoons, got into their house and just destroyed something. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, we do a lot of those.
So they get in how?
Oh, they just rip open places. I mean, they find any weakness in your home and take advantage of it. You know, any kind of anything made out of plastic, any kind of rotted wood, any kind of hole, they just start digging and make a bigger hole, and then they go in and live.
I know what the question I was going to ask you earlier. I forgot. Has the government restricted the use of certain chemicals? Have they made it harder for you to use good chemicals because they're bad for the environment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a lot of restrictions. Yes.
So you've always got to deal with the governmental restrictions on what you can use. You might say, I got some great stuff here, but it's not legal. You're not supposed to do that, are you?
I'm not sure where to get that stuff.
Okay, well, that's probably a good thing. All right, so let's talk about raccoons.
Yeah.
What do you do to get them out of the house?
Well, first we got to come out and check it out, see if you even have a raccoon problem. 9 times out of 10, people tell me they got a raccoon in their attic, and it's just a mouse. So
okay.
Don't even know what we're dealing with when we show up. So
sure.
We show up, determine it is a raccoon. We find the entry point.
And you can spot them, or you can see the droppings or whatever and figure out what you're...
Yeah, you can see the evidence. You can see where they're climbing on the side of the house and insulation falling out of places, you know, however they got in.
That's one reason why people should take better care of their house, isn't it? Because it becomes a target for these critters.
Exactly. I mean, home maintenance is big. Home maintenance is real big. Once a week, walk around your house, look around, see if you see anything broke, damaged, anything like that.
Because these things are a problem, aren't they? I mean, they can be a real problem.
Oh, yeah. I see what they do to attic spaces and what they do to homes.
So these animals get in there, and then they can just start wreaking havoc on what you've got, whether it's just junk up there or whether it's your wood products or your rafters or your flooring. I mean, whatever you got, they could chew on it or tear it up or dig another hole to try to go somewhere else.
Right. It's not so much the adult raccoons. It's when the litter is born and as they're growing up. You know, they're like having a bunch of toddlers in your attic just tearing everything up, exploring.
Yeah.
You know, it's all new to them.
Uh-huh.
So that's when we get a lot of calls, when people start hearing a lot of noises like that. And then, it's generally too late. They've pretty much wreaked havoc up there.
So do you... how do you manage the raccoon problem? Is it with chemicals, or is it just get them out and keep them out?
No, you got to trap them, get them out of there.
How do you know they're not going to come back?
Well, you need to clean up the remnants they leave behind and close up areas and, you know, a little bit of construction and stuff involved. So once we get them out, we do attic remediations. We suck out the insulation, sanitize, deodorize, put in new insulation, fix HVAC systems, anything they've tore up there.
Okay, so that's a construction aspect of your business that you repair as part of the remediation process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not just getting the animals out. You got to repair what they've done, and you got to get the smell out so you don't continue to have this problem every single year.
Yeah. Is there a certain time of year they tend to show up, or does it depend upon the insect or the particular wildlife?
On the animal. Different seasons, different animals.
All right, so what about things like possums and skunks and things like that? We don't hear much about skunks getting in houses, do we?
Crawl spaces, yeah. They like to get in crawl spaces, or they'll live under sheds or decks.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of skunks and possums like to do that. Raccoons as well, but skunks and possums really don't go to your attic space. I've gotten a possum out of an attic one time. And that was only once.
What do you do with these things?
And generally, we try to relocate everything that we get.
You know. Okay. Are they like pets? Are they going to find their way back to somebody's house, typically, or not?
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, that'd be no good, wouldn't it?
Well, by the time they come back, we've fixed everything.
Fixed. They can't get in, so they go to the next-door neighbors and look for their house.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I don't make the rules. It's just, you know.
No, it's not your fault. All right, so you've got the chemicals that you use to kind of keep them away, and then you've got the equipment you use to kind of repair, clean, and repair the conditions that allowed these critters to come in. Are these things dangerous as a general rule, would you say?
They can be if you get too close to them. It's not so much the animal that's dangerous, it's what they leave behind. So the droppings, a lot of that stuff is just real bad for you. You know, you get raccoon roundworm, you get histoplasmosis from bats, mice.
Tell me about bats. Those things kind of freak me out a little
bats
bit.
Bats are one of our biggest problems.
And why do we have bats? I mean, I know they're out there, the Indiana brown bat or whatever they call it.
Well, they're actually pretty good for the ecosystem.
Are they?
Yeah. They keep a lot of bugs away, and they're actually pollinators and all that good stuff. So
they provide some value in some respects.
Yeah.
Is it true they come out at night and fly around at night
and
stay inside during
only
the day?
Night.
Only at night.
Yeah, and then during the days they hang out in your attic.
And just kind of wait for the darkness to show, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then all the droppings they leave, it's bad. That stuff starts smelling.
So how do you get the bats out?
So that's a tedious process. There's a lot of places that they can get in. Anything about the thickness of a pencil needs to be closed up around the entire house. So, and then we find that hot spot they're moving in and out, and we put basically a check valve, a little one-way door. And at night, they come out, and they fly. And then in the morning,
they can't get back in.
They can't return. So we've closed up the entire house, and they look for other entry points, and they can't find them, and they move on.
They go somewhere else. Ground squirrels, we used to have ground squirrel problem. They'd hang around the backyard and under the little shed we had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had some ground squirrels that they would bring these hedge apples, mm-hmm. big, you know, look like almost, you know, they're like softballs.
Yeah.
We'd have thousands of them in this little shed. They would just bring them in.
Yeah.
They'd be 4, 5, 6 feet high.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they work pretty hard.
Just storing up for the winter,
just
so to speak,
food. That's it.
So what's the most difficult animal you've had to deal with or wildlife? What's the biggest problem if somebody runs into this, they really have a problem?
I'd say bats. Between bats and squirrels. Because, I mean, squirrels get in some small spots. They chew new holes. Bats just find spots and go in. So between bats and squirrels, I think those two are the hardest ones.
I saw a little story on the internet here recently where it was an invertebrate, and I don't remember what it was. It was like an octopus or something. It was a sea animal that this was fairly big, and it crawled through an opening that was less than the size of my ink pen here.
I bet.
And they could somehow fit through that opening, and this thing is, you know, 14 inches long and 6 inches high, and mm-hmm. I mean, it could just make itself go in this opening and mm-hmm. squeeze through and then come out the other side, and you go, that's unbelievable.
It's just that they don't have spines. I mean, it's just the way their bodies are set up. They can literally just smash themselves flat and squeeze in anywhere.
Yeah. All right. What about things like foxes and wolves, I guess is the right term. You know, we have a fox problem around here for residential people. They wreak havoc with dogs and cats and stuff, don't they?
Yeah, foxes aren't too bad.
They aren't?
Nah, I wouldn't worry about, you know, when it comes to cats and dogs, I wouldn't worry about too much about the fox. It's more the coyotes.
The coyotes are the problem.
They'll go after your cats and dogs, yeah. And the foxes are there, they're just squirrels, rodents, stuff like that.
Can you just take care of the coyotes with your own pistol or your own firearm if you got one, or is that legal?
You can. Within, you know, you can't do it in city limits, of course, but, yeah, the DNR is pretty lenient about the coyote problem. Yeah, they're pretty lean.
And is it becoming more of a problem because of the development pressures that just reduce the areas where they can hang out and they find themselves in town more than they used to?
Eventually,
So eventually they're either going to have to fight it out or they're going to have to go north or west to get away from the development, correct?
Exactly.
So is there anything we can do other than keep our homes secure and the holes filled? And take care of the broken windows and the bad insulation and the cracked boards at the bottom of the house to reduce the likelihood of keeping these animals out of your house?
That's going to reduce a lot, but basically just hold on tight because it's coming whether you like it or not. The wildlife and bugs are coming no matter what you do.
Well, that's kind of a discouraging thought, but it's good to know that that's the fact of life. So how do they get a hold of your company?
Oh, they just call us, Google us.
The Ladybug?
Yes, sir.
And it's kind of a catchy name, and you're based where? Where's your office physically located?
Boone County.
Okay, so you work out of Boone County, but you've got a kind of a branch facility or not a kind of a place where you meet up. That's here in Lebanon.
Yes,
but
sir.
You travel, then you take your trucks on the road. Mm-hmm. You have your chemicals and your guys. You don't really need a big office like this. You just need a place to keep your vehicles.
Yep.
You guys keep the vehicles at home when they drive, or they park them at the business?
No, they'll take them to the shop. Sometimes the guys will take them home if they work late or they got an appointment close to their house in the morning or whatever.
So do you have any sort of local permit, or is it all a state permit you have to deal with?
No, state permit.
Okay.
Through the DNR for wildlife, and then through the state chemist's office for insects.
All right, Johnny. Well, I've appreciated you coming in. I've enjoyed our conversation. I've learned a little bit about what you do and why you have to do it. And the ladybug.com will get you access to the company and your phone numbers and all that.
It's www.
www.theladybug.
Call the ladybug.
Oh, calltheladybug.com. All right. www.calltheladybug.com will get you to Johnny and his people. And, hopefully you won't need them, but it wouldn't be a bad thing to use them occasionally. So I've thanks for coming in. Our guest this week has been Johnny Ricci of the Ladybug. Next week we are going to have on our show, if I can think of it, we're going to have Craig Fouts and maybe another fellow from the Boone County Sheriff's Office in to talk about Christmas with a Cop program, raising money for underprivileged children. It's a great organization, a great effort they undertake. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving weekend with your friends or your family. Be safe if you travel, and we'll see you next week on What's Up Boone County.